The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
I'm here. Hold on. Got to flip the screen around. Welcome. Welcome to a Tuesday. It's a brand new week here because I'm still taking Mondays off. Just to update you on that, the good folks over at the Progressive Voices Network are working closely, I hear, with the TuneIn people who now host our Progressive Voices stream to try to make the arrangements to do whatever needs to be done in order for me to move the show, the live show, to 5 p.m. Eastern, which is what time it airs on Progressive Voices. But once we're live and I don't have to worry about editing to fit it into 60 minutes if I run over and getting it uploaded to air in time at 5 o'clock, if we go live at 5 and occasionally I want to run a little long, it won't be an issue. But for now, you know, we're still working under those constraints. So just know we're still working on it. It's a work in progress. And right now things globally are going at a kind of a glacial pace because, well, life is kind of different these days. And we're all learning as we're going along how to navigate the new territory. For instance, this morning I had a doctor's appointment, but they called me a few days ago and said, do you want to do it via Zoom? And I said, sure, because it was just a preliminary appointment ahead of a colonoscopy. It's been 5 years. I'm at that age. And so had the appointment with the doctor over the video. It was so futuristic. And all is well. And he said, look, you know, right now we're tentatively scheduling procedures for June and July. We really have no idea when we're going to start up again. The only procedures they're doing right now are emergency procedures. Everything else is put on hold, as are our lives. There are a few things going on, and we'll get to them in what's news. But those $1,200 checks have allegedly been started going out anyway. Some people who have direct deposit are finding them in their bank accounts already. We keep looking and it's not there. And if you're not sure if you have direct deposit or not, there is, hold on, I came across the way to sign up for direct deposit. And if you go to, well, you know what? Long involved URL. I will include this on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com where I post the show. And I post the videos we play at the beginning, you know, the funny and other pertinent information about what went on during the show. I will put that link to get a direct deposit account hooked up to the IRS for you so you'll get your check more quickly. But a word of warning from David Dayan over at the American Prospect, who just learned that even though these payments from the government, the $1,200 checks, were supposed to are free from being garnished, whatever the word is, with the exception of child support, what they found is that banks that have the people who have debts with the bank where these checks are being direct deposited are using that money to satisfy outstanding debt. So David Dayan warns, don't do that. If you're going to put it a direct deposit into an account, make sure it's an account that is not that does not have bills attached to it, if that makes any sense. Anyway, I will put this IRS.gov link on the blog to show you how to sign up for direct deposit in case you have not already. So we got that to look forward to. So how are you holding up? Having fun? We're going to have fun today because it's Tuesday and usually, you know, Gotta Laugh is here. And because we're all working from home now, our pal Amy Simon is able to take a little break from her toiling away in her now home office and join us. So we'll do as we did the last couple of weeks. I'll start. I'll bring you the news. We'll do a funny. We'll get Laffy on the line, and then we'll bring Amy in for another gathering of the Glibberal goddesses. But as we are wont to do, I like to start the show off with a bit of a laugh, because believe me, when I get into today's news, you're not going to be laughing. So anyway, we'll go to today to our pal Lauren Mayer. Lauren's Comedy is the name of her thing. You can find her on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, on all those usual places. And her she generally does one, you know, one fun parody video a week. And she stepped up production since we've all been shut in. Anyway, this is her latest production, and she parodies one of my favorite artists, Joe Jackson, for a new take on an old classic. Enjoy.
Silly husband, he says he's got to head off down the street, 'cause he's claiming we barely have enough here to eat. I say, look in the fridge.
Where?
There's plenty of groceries right here. But he says, no, we're out of Flaming Ranch Doritos and beer. Is he really going out again? Is he really gonna bring germs home tonight? Is he really going out again? He finally helps with the errands, but why'd he have to wait until now? Today's the day when he finally decides he likes kale. And he just heard that at Target they've got cat food on sale. We don't have a cat. Clear across town,
where?
They've got that new video game he has to play. And so he says he's gotta go for his seventh shopping trip today. Is he really going out again? Is he really gonna bring germs home tonight? Is he really going out again? If the virus doesn't kill him, there's a pretty good chance that I will. But just now the guy's on a work call, saying, Doc's in a row. I want him to go out again. You want to think outside the box, then go outside. Oh, please God, let him go out again. 'Cause if I have to listen to him, I'm gonna go insane round here. Gonna go insane round here.
Ah! Lauren Mayer, everyone. Lauren Mayer parodying Joe Jackson. Is she really going out? Is he she really going out with him? Sorry, my mind is just, you know. Well, I think it's atrophied, frankly. Anyway, yes, cabin fever is a dangerous situation for all occupants. So says Carne Verde in the YouTube chat room. All right. So there's our funny for the day. There's lots of them out there. I've gone through so many in the last few weeks that the pickings are getting a little slim, but there's still a lot of good stuff. So anyway, there's your funny. Now let's get to the news, shall we? Now, since the time that I wrote and produced today's What's News segments, there is breaking news. And no, I don't have any audio from it for you. But Barack Obama finally endorsed Joe Biden. You know, I guess I got to give Obama credit for staying on the sidelines until, you know, the last man standing. Good for him. A part of it might be that I really think he wasn't wanting to endorse Joe Biden, that he would have preferred a different candidate because he knows the same things you and I know. But I digress. Today's not a day to speak ill of the standing, I suppose. All right. So that's the latest news. Now let's get to the earlier news of the day. And boy, there's a lot to go through. I know I'm a glutton for punishment. I watched the thing that is billed as a White House briefing on the coronavirus crisis yesterday. I was struggling over the last couple of weeks to come up with a name for it. I figured it out. It's an infomercial. It's a Donald Trump infomercial that he has commandeered from the TV community, from the cable channels and you know, the broadcast networks. Thankfully, most of them have stopped carrying them live. CNN and MSNBC yesterday cut out when Trump played, in the middle of what was supposed to be a press briefing, a propaganda video. That's the only way to describe it. That's exactly what it was. And so, well, here's what's news, in which I give you the whole shebang. See, I told you, I watch it when I can stomach it, so you don't have to. All right, take it away, Nicole.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Donald Trump's farce of a daily White House coronavirus briefing reached a new low on Monday. Trump took to the podium as if it were Festivus in time for the airing of the grievances. After complaining about how he's not being appreciated for the great job he's done protecting the nation from COVID-19 and the recent damning examination of his disastrous response by the New York Times, Trump called Dr. Fauci to the podium for what looked like a hostage video. The good doctor stated that he wasn't criticizing Dear Leader in interviews over the weekend when he suggested that more lives would have been saved had the mitigation steps been put into effect earlier. But then Trump went over the edge as he played what can only be described as a propaganda film, highlighting highly edited praise for Herr Trump from journalists and governors alike. Both CNN and MSNBC cut away from the so-called briefing. On CNN, John King clearly called it what it was.
That was propaganda. That was not just a campaign video. That was propaganda aired at taxpayer expense in the White House briefing room.
Yep.
And it was selective cherry-picking information.
But wait, there's more. Seriously, the wrecked train kept rolling as Trump began ranting about the need to open the economy again and proclaiming that the decisions about when and how to reopen everything was his exclusively, as the president has, quote, total authority.
Just to be very specific. For instance, if a governor issued a stay-at-home
order... When you say my authority, the president's authority.
Not mine, because it's not me. This is when somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total. And that's the way it's got to be.
Total. Your authority is total.
It's total. It's total. And the governors know that.
So if a governor...
The governors know that. Now you have a couple of bands of... Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Can you rescind that order?
You have a couple of bands of Democrat governors, but they will agree to it. They will agree to it. But the authority of the president of the United States having to do with the subject we're talking about is total.
What? You get that? Kudos to CNN's Caitlin Collins, who attempted to question that assertion, even calling him out, saying that statement is just simply not true.
A quick question about something you just said. You said when someone is president of the United States, their authority is total. That is not true.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to write up papers on this. It's not going to be necessary because the governors need us one way or the other, because ultimately it comes with the federal government. That being said, we're getting along very well with the governors, and I feel very certain that there won't be a problem. Yeah, please,
governor,
go ahead.
Has any governor agreed that you have the authority to decide when their state...
I haven't asked anybody. Because
but
I don't... You know why? Because I don't have to. Go ahead,
oh,
please.
God.
But who told you the president has the total authority?
Enough.
There really are no words. Thankfully, most of the governors are adults who've actually read the Constitution. And on Monday, two groups of governors, one from the East Coast, the other from the West Coast, announced that they were joining forces to develop coordinated plans to eventually reopen their economies. The groups plan to roll back coronavirus restrictions slowly to avoid new spikes of infections. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Rhode Island are forming the Eastern Regional Council, while California, Washington, and Oregon are forming the Western one. Senator Bernie Sanders on Monday endorsed his former rival for the Democratic presidential nomination, Joe Biden, saying, "We need you in the White House, and I will do all that I can to see that that happens." Biden responded by telling Sanders, "I'm going to need you not just to win the campaign, but to govern." Speaking of elections, Democrats won a significant victory in Wisconsin's election for a state Supreme Court seat on Monday when the liberal challenger was declared the upset winner of last week's election over a conservative incumbent backed by Donald Trump.
Uh-oh.
The liberal candidate, Jill Karofsky, beat Justice Daniel Kelly by more than 90,000 votes as of Monday night, a margin of victory that surprised members of both parties in a potentially crucial presidential battleground state. Karofsky's victory also marked the first time in more than a dozen years that a Supreme Court challenger beat an incumbent, and just the second time in more than a half a century.
Way to
Her
go,
win
Wisconsin!
Over Justice Daniel Kelly will shift conservative control of the court from a 5-2 to a 4-3 majority. We still got work to do. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court is gearing up to hear arguments for 10 cases over the phone for the first time in history. The next session, from May 4th to 13th, will include a case on faithless electors in the Electoral College and a case combining House Democrats and New York State prosecutors' subpoenas for Donald Trump's financial records. The Supreme Court has already delivered decisions remotely since the COVID-19 pandemic began, though that wasn't a new practice for the court. The decision to let Wisconsin's primary continue during the pandemic was delivered remotely, but the court had postponed future arguments until deciding to proceed via telephone on Monday. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more by visiting NicoleSandler.com and clicking on that donate button. And a quick housekeeping note, I have been diligently working in the background, a one-woman show that I am, to do as some listeners suggested, excuse me, and set up a Patreon page. So it's kind of there. It's a work in progress. And I actually need to update it. There's the thing we talked about last week with Laffy and Amy about my Radio Chronicles, whatever I'm calling it, my book that's not really a book but a multimedia thing. I've now put up two installments, and those will be available to anyone who's a monthly contributor to the show. All right. Again, the show is not behind a paywall, but I need to do something for this Patreon thing to encourage people to get on board. So as I'm writing this book that's not a book, I'll make it available in installments to those who are donors. There are some other perks on there. The phone not pockets. Oh, again, I didn't bring my phone in here. I'm going to reinstate my book program. So on a certain level, I think it's like a $25 a month donor. If you're in the $25 a month donor category and you hear an interview with an author and you want the book on a first come, first serve basis, if you're one of those patrons, you can send me an email and the first one who asks will get that book. All right. So a few things will be rolling out. I'm just trying to be creative and trying to figure out how to get a little more revenue coming in so that I can keep doing the show. You know how it is, right? Right. And I'm not good at asking for money. So, you know, that's today's pitch. All right. You know what time it is. You heard Lauren Mayer's song earlier to this week's parody song. Well, this is the theme song she wrote for me and Laffy.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Just love it. Okay, first, now we got to get Laffy on the line. Just have to tweak a few knobs and push a few buttons and hope it works. Fingers crossed and say hello.
Yes, you've reached the privatizing the post office hotline.
I can't believe they're at this again. Okay, all right, what do we do?
Press 1 if you think Trump's new slogan for a privatized post office will be "Neither snow nor rain nor gloom of night will stop me from stealing your mail-in ballot."
Yeah.
Press 2 if you think Trump thinks licking postage stamps is disgusting, but he has no problem with sticking his nose up Putin's ass.
Yeah.
Press 3 if you think Ivanka said, Daddy, I'm going to give my child slave tailors new orders. Replace those ugly mailman shorts with Kushner khakis.
Ew. I don't know what Daddy. A Kushner khaki is, but I don't want to find out either.
You know those pants he always wears, little khakis with a little blazer?
I try not to look. I really do.
Well, I don't blame you for that. But he wears them.
I'm sure
very,
he does.
They're very nicely pressed.
I'm sure they are.
Like his face.
Oh, so how's your week been, Laffy?
That's fine.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, what after listening to, I did not listen to Trump yesterday.
Oh,
I don't do that anymore. I follow live tweets and I live tweet the live tweets. And then if I feel like it, I'll go to the live clips that are, you know, also contemporaneously posted.
So were the live tweets yesterday because I was watching it in disbelief. It's like I said in the segment, it's like the train wreck that keeps on rolling. It was unbelievable. And Allison sitting there with me. And, you know, I've taken a new tact. Instead of getting angry, I laugh. He is hysterical. If it weren't so serious, it would be hysterically funny. But he is such a doofus. He is such a fucking moron that I just have to laugh at him because the idiocy
I can't laugh. I used to laugh at him. Now I'm ripping my hair out. Yes, to answer you, Twitter did explode. Yeah, it absolutely exploded. Like, that's what made me go and I literally watched for a second. I turned it on. Saw his face and turned it off because I can't deal with him doing this anymore.
I understand, but it was so over the first. I tweeted a couple of things because I'm watching it. I'm like, oh my God, someone call the whambulance. All this guy has done is complain. That's why I said it was like Festivus, an airing of the grievances. He complained and complained and complained that nobody's giving me good coverage. Oh my God, and I've done everything so right. And then he calls Fauci up. So Fauci can do his hostage video thing and say, yeah, you know, yesterday on the Sunday shows when I criticized him, I wasn't really criticizing him. And I have to do this because he's holding a figurative gun to my head. So that happened. Then I tweeted about that. And it's like, oh, my God, this is just unbelievable. And then he plays a propaganda video. I'm like, what year is this? And a lot of people responded 1939, in case you were wondering. And then he went into the "I have total authority." I was like, "I give up."
I want to know how he can have total authority and at the same time say I'm not responsible for any of this
because he's Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's how.
Well, speaking of Donald Trump and everybody else, we should probably get to the little tweeties because we want to see Amy too.
Yes, we do. Okay, let loose the birdies. Here they come.
Welcome to my
ducks. Did you know that it's good luck if a bird shits on your head?
I've never had that good luck.
I've heard it. I'm just saying. Oh, before we go any further, I just have to show you the most pathetic picture. For those watching on YouTube, here's my photo of the day. It's Jackson. Jackson, well, the quarantine hasn't affected him that much because we're always home anyway. But, you know, and he's still out in the backyard chasing squirrels. But apparently he must have run into a fence. And he cut his eye, the corner of his right eye.
And we had a vet appointment for him anyway. So David took him to the vet a little while. Well, it's infected. And so now he's wearing this cone of shame. I don't know if you see this picture, but he's so miserable. He doesn't move. He stood in the same spot for like 10 minutes until I finally guided him to the bed and you know, let him jump up on the bed where I thought he'll lie down and go to sleep. But he's sitting with his head up because he doesn't understand that he can put his head down on the cone.
That's so poor sad. Baby. I mean, Hammy had to wear one of those when he got neutered.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't bother him much at all. He kept walking into the, you know, things that would, you know, he would hit. But at the end, he just trot away. He didn't care.
Yeah, he hates it. I'm hoping he'll get used to it.
I hated it for him.
Because he's supposed to have it on for, you know, 24/7 for a few days while he gets his antibiotics and the eye drops and everything else. And poor baby. Look how sad he looks.
You have a really good clear one. Ours isn't that clear.
No, that's a new, it's a new clear one. That's a new, new
I want a clear version. One.
You can. You know, they have also, they have these blow up cones.
I have that.
I was going to get, but I don't think it'll keep him from scratching his eye, unfortunately.
It doesn't. It's good for just very few things because they can get way past it. Yeah. I also got one that's a padded one. It's made out of black nylon and it's soft.
Mm-hmm.
But he hated that. He absolutely went bonkers. So that didn't work. So we went right back to the standard. Anyway.
Yeah.
I got to get into this. Okay, so something that just broke.
Uh-oh.
This is from ProPublica.
Yes.
Another Richard Burr expose.
It's becoming
daily occurrences now.
Yeah.
Senator Richard Burr sold a D.C. townhouse to donor at a rich price,
Really?
In a private transaction, Richard Burr, Republican of North Carolina, sold the townhouse to lobbyists who had business before his committees. And then a couple of quotes from experts. Gifts of significant value from lobbyists are generally banned by Senate ethics rules, and those that aren't are typically required to be publicly disclosed. Mm-hmm. Neither Burr nor Green disclosed any such gifts. Gifts that are intended to influence official actions are illegal. And then another quote. This is from general counsel for the Campaign Legal Center. This appears to be extremely problematic. And another quote. Lobbyist gifts to lawmakers is akin to a bribe.
Uh-oh.
So yeah, he's had a few of these little run-ins.
And you know, if he was a Democrat, he'd have already been run out of office. This is the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And apparently this insider trading deal where he sold off a bunch of the stock right before the market crashed due to the coronavirus stuff, because he knew this was coming. And but apparently he's done this before. So I don't know what the holdup is.
The holdup is we have Republicans in the Senate and we have Republicans running all of everything else except for the House. So that's what the holdup is.
They're all scattered. The Senate will not reconvene. They just told us before May 4th. And even then, I have a feeling it's going to be a while after that.
I thought that was the House. Was that the Senate?
Senate too. They just they just let that out today.
Okay. I missed that one. Okay. LOL GOP.
Yeah.
Worth noting. This is from yesterday. Worth noting that Trump would have let millions die without organizing any federal response if he still had the stock market to brag about.
Oh, without a doubt. Because we know what's important to him.
Mm-hmm. And then speaking of the post office, you know, they've been trying to privatize it forever. The Washington Post had a headline, White House rejects bailout for U.S. Postal Service. And Dave Johnson, our friend, said adequately funding a public service is not a bailout.
Nope.
They're in the Constitution, for God's sake.
Yep. And the thing is, the Republicans, the reason, the only reason the Postal Service, the Post Office, is in any kind of financial distress is because the Republican-led Congress, when they had control of both chambers, passed legislation requiring the U.S. to fund the retirements and health care plans for the postal workers 75 years in advance. So they're funding this fund for people who haven't even been born yet. It's absurd, and it was designed solely to break the back of the post office.
Exactly. There's a campaign, and I participated in trying to get people just to buy stamps.
Buy stamps.
To help support. So I immediately, of course, did that.
Cool.
This is from it's first from Robert Klemko, He's okay. with the Washington Post. And he said last month was the first March without a school shooting in the United States since 2002. And wow. Molly Jong Fast said, we finally solved school shootings. We wow. just have to self-isolate.
Just isolate. Just have nobody in school. Then they won't. There won't be school shootings.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have a series of first let me pick up on, yep, I think they're all the rest of them. No, all but one. Okay, let me do the one that's the exception. Then I'm going to do a whole run
okay.
on the officials on the Council to Reopen America, which by the way, Council to Reopen America something or other if you put the, what do you call it? You put the letters anagram
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
It's crap. And I can't remember what the last word was. And I posted it yesterday and lost it. Yes, it's crap. Anyway,
yes,
we'll get back to that.
Because Javanka are on it. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay, so Sahil Kapoor has the headline, which you probably have seen, that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis deems pro wrestling essential business amid the statewide stay-at-home order, right?
Yeah.
So then Bryant Durrell, a person, said, let's sharpen this a bit. Linda McMahon made her fortune
yep.
as a WWE executive.
Yep.
DeSantis just saved WWE from breaching their Fox TV contract and losing $205 million per year. McMahon currently runs Trump's super PAC. So there you go.
Yeah.
You've got that all put in a nice package instead of just it's an essential business.
That's disgusting. It is disgusting. Florida also says, you know, sure, go to church. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wait, he has a little bit more. He said, oh, hell, the Miami Herald missed the other chunk of the story. A WWE on-air employee tested positive sometime after March 26th, not a wrestler. So they had a positive test, and
oh
they still
God.
Got the okay to go back to live shows.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it is Florida, after all. Just the quick version. So I know we're short on time.
Okay. This officials on Council to Reopen America, I'm going to run down a little bit about
yeah.
who's in it.
Uh-huh.
And then a few little quips that people threw in. So first, the initial Chiron or, you know, pictures with Chiron, it shows faces, and it's Mark Meadows, Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, Steve Mnuchin, Larry Kudlow, Robert Lighthizer, and Wilbur Ross.
Oh,
okay, since then it's been reported that Ivanka and Jared are
off.
No longer on.
Yes, I heard that too, right?
So Justin Wolfers of New York Times said, not a single economist or public health expert.
Of course not.
Then this is from Operative X-Ray,
okay.
Who just a person, and he says, the Council to Reopen America, Larry Kudlow, the day drinker, Mark Meadows, MAGA Gruppenführer, Ivanka and Jared, never met a problem they couldn't make
yeah.
worse, Steve Mnuchin loves all of your money.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Lighthizer, the fall guy, and Wilbur Ross died 2 years ago. No one told him.
It's Weekend at Bernie's at Wilbur's. Wilbur!
Yes. Then Empty Wheel, Marcy adds, in addition to his children, which were no longer on, the majority leader's spouse, who has been credibly accused of egregious ethical violations,
uh-huh.
and a guy who, covered up for the president's violation of the Impoundment Control Act during impeachment, will be spending that $2 trillion, because there's other people that were listed, and I'm not going to
yep.
go into the reading
yep.
of that. Onward with that. Okay, then Nate... just a person said,
okay.
noticing a significant overlap in members between the Council to Reopen America and the council that fucked everything up from last month. And then Daniel Esquire says, yes, that appears to be a feature, not a bug.
Oh, God. This
then Jed
so
Sugarman,
yes.
the lawyer, said, the only thing they should reopen is one, real estate fraud case versus Ivanka. Mm-hmm. Two, bribery extortion case versus Khashoggi versus Kushner.
Mm.
Three, embezzlement insider trading false statement case versus Ross. And four, illegal foreclosures case versus Okay, and then finally, I'm not going to go through this whole thread, but I will tell you how to find it. This is a must-read thread. I didn't even get through all of it before we came on air, but I'll read you one or two. This is from Michael Harriott, at Michael Harriott. Michael spelled M-I-C-H-A-E-L,
right.
Harriott, H-A-R-R-I-O-T. Michael okay. Harriott with theroot.com.
Okay.
He says, you want to know what white privilege is? Let's look at the credentials for the Council to Reopen America. Mark Meadows. Not only is Mark Meadows not a doctor, but his official government bio also says he only holds a bachelor's degree. A bachelor's degree. That is a lie. Mark Meadows actually has an associate of arts, which is the school says is for students whose goal is to eventually pursue a baccalaureate degree. He basically has a 13th grade education.
Yeah, he has a community college degree. Wow.
This doesn't mean that Mark Meadows is dumb, but Mark Meadows is dumb. Okay. He goes on about Mark Meadows for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't believe in climate change and thinks the earth is 6,000 years old. Okay. Ivanka Trump has a bachelor's in economics, which helped her immensely working for her last four employers, her daddy's TV show, The Apprentice, her daddy's beauty pageant, Miss Teen USA, her daddy's charity, the Trump Foundation, her daddy's campaign.
Yeah.
Jared Kushner is dumber than Ivanka. Luckily, his daddy is rich. He managed to accomplish great things, including bankrupting a newspaper, not having a security clearance, getting into Harvard after his father donated $2.5 million, which wouldn't be weird if not for one thing. His dad didn't go to Harvard. Anyway, you've got to read this thread. It is so good. I'm keeping it up in case you want me to refer to it later.
Okay.
That's all I've got because I looked at the clock.
Oh, okay. Well, then if that's the case, let's try see if we can't do this without, well, if let me rephrase that. If I can do this without screwing it up this time, let's give it a shot. We're going to try to get Amy on the line.
Amy Simon of She's History. Got a laugh out of the carnival and into radio or not. And Nicole Sandler.
Hello, goddesses.
The Nicole Sandler Show on RadioOrNot.com combined the forces of Amy, Laffy, and Nicole to bring to you the Glibberal Goddesses.
So those of you who are new to the show, when we first gathered the Glibberal Goddesses, it was the three of us, but my show was at RadioOrNot.com. Still, if you go to RadioOrNot.com, it'll bring you to NicoleSandler.com, so it's not that big a difference. Laffy was writing and presiding over the website, The Political Carnival, and Amy Simon had just started, really, doing She's History as a cultural historian. Amy's still working on that, and we're still here. So, you know, I don't know even know how many years ago that was. Amy, you're with us now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, that worked almost like magic. I love it when things
and
work.
And I didn't get cut off this time.
I know.
Yay!
See, I took great pains to not screw it up. And every once in a while, it works. So, anybody have anything interesting happen this week?
Huh. I love you both. I'm so glad to be here connecting.
I have one for you. Wait, let me. So I mentioned that my whole religious education, my training, came from watching the Ten Commandments on TV. And that Allison the other night, last week, asked me about Passover. And I'm the atheist Jew who grew up in a very secular household. My parents were as religious as I am, which means not at all, but culturally Jewish, right? So I said, all right, we'll watch the Ten Commandments this weekend. So I looked on, we have DirecTV, and I looked on their on-demand thing, and there was the Ten Commandments, and it said Cecil B. DeMille. And so I rented it for $3.99. Well, it turns out it was not the Charlton Heston version. It was a silent movie from one year. The silent film version of the Ten Commandments, which was quite interesting. I got it. So we went, and then I found the regular one, the actual one from 1962 with Charlton Heston, which we did watch, and it was fascinating. We made a whole family night of it. But the silent movie thing really I was surprised. Who knew?
Oh, I think that's hilarious. I didn't even know there had been a silent movie.
I didn't either, but you can rent it from DirecTV if you're interested. It's with the organ music and everything, and the dialogue written out on the screen in between when the organ music is playing. It was wild. So
I can't even imagine how they would have done that.
We did that this weekend. That was before the Charlton Heston version, obviously.
Well, you and I have identical religious backgrounds. Identical. My parents made us go to religious school when I was little.
Oh, I didn't even do that. We did none of
that. Oh, I didn't want to, but they made us.
But you had a brother, and I'm guessing your brother was bar mitzvah. See, we were three girls.
No.
Really?
In fact, he hated religious school so much that he was allowed to drop out before I was allowed to. And I dropped out when I was, I think, 10 or 11. Mm. And I was so mad because they made me, it was Saturday school. And my parents made me go. My brother, he's combative. Let's just put it that way. So he made life miserable for them until they finally acquiesced and said, all right, you don't have to go. Bar mitzvah? Are you kidding? Bat mitzvah? No way.
Right.
Uh-uh.
No.
I don't know a word of Yiddish.
Yeah, I know. You know, I know the words that have made it into, you know, the regular popular lexicon. Schmuck. Is a Yiddish word.
Oh, I know a whole phrase. Dutch du norm
leben
dein cup and dreher zoi viet sibla, which means you should only live with your head in the ground like an onion. And my grandma taught me that. And she also used to make kreplach and stuff one with cotton. So one of us would always get one with cotton.
Ew.
Now,
see, I knew Amy would know some Yiddish phrases. Amy, of
well,
course.
I know a few things, and I know that I have a similar Jewish background to you both. There are three girls and one boy, and guess who got a bar mitzvah? The boy.
Of course. Well, that's how it used to be, because girls, the bat mitzvah for the girl was optional. And in fact, when I was a kid, you know, my parents said, if you want one, you can have one. But I said, okay, can I take a crash course? And they said, no, if you want to do it, you have to do the thing. So I said, forget it. And I didn't have one. But boys, you had to if you were a boy, but girls didn't. So in my house, none of us did.
It's not like that now. It's wonderful.
No.
I mean, we have female rabbis, and both my girls were bat mitzvahed. And I'll tell you, I mean, I was not brought up religious, although I was a New York Jew, so, you know, it was all about the food, and my parents didn't like anybody, so we didn't join any temples. But when I had my girls and I married a man who was very not religious, but he wanted to have a Jewish ceremony, and I didn't care, and it's a longer story, but I told him I would never set foot in a temple because it was completely sexist. And he went around L.A. and found a temple that was all run by women.
Wow.
And I said, oh, and yeah. And so I actually am part of a really cool, very cool temple. Martin Luther King spoke there in the 60s. It's called Temple Isaiah. And I went to see the rabbi when my girls were you know, going to Hebrew school. I said, I don't know what any of this stuff means. She goes, she was so cool. She's like, yeah, ask the questions. And, you know, so I'm happy that I had that because it's really a great community. And what I really like about this particular temple is that it's all about community. We work with the city, and it's not very religious. So it's reform, and I'm very happy.
That's nice.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I spent the week, first of all, it's Passover.
Yes, I know. Right. That's why we watched the Ten
Jewish
Commandments.
Girls on the phone here.
Yes.
It's Passover, which was really interesting this year because it's all about the plagues, Passover. Hello.
Yes, I know, right? We're living through it, right.
Yeah, and I ended up binge watching a show called Unorthodox, if anybody knows anything
I
about
saw it.
It.
It's on Netflix or something.
Oh, my God. It's a true story about an author named Deborah Feldman who was raised in the very Hasidic section of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and it's extremely accurate. I mean, this still exists. I mean, this is from today, where there are still these extreme religious sects where women are baby makers. It's like The Handmaid's Tale, but Jewish. I mean, it's just crazy, and it's her story, and she broke away and wrote a book, and they turned it into a film. And
interesting.
I mean, it's just compelling. I binge watched it. I think there were four episodes, and it was really good. So I was really, you know, I ate matzah and watched that. So it was very Jewish.
That's more than I did.
More than we did too. Yes. Well, we watched the Ten Commandments, so at least we did something. religious.
I watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he's Jewish, so that's pretty good.
All right.
I have to just tell you, while I was not watching Donald Trump's ridiculous thing that he did, that you
his infomercial,
so you know, and I have this little fantasy, which is very funny because it's all about Mercy Otis Warren, and I'm not a lesbian, but she was James Otis's sister. This was from the 1700s, and she was hanging out with Abigail Adams and John Adams. And she was a playwright and she was a poet, and she was really well known. And what I love about her, and I'm dying to write a play about her, but don't hold me to it. She wrote a play about the government called The Blockheads.
Okay. Back in the 1700s.
In the 1700s. And another one called The Motley Assembly.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I just love these stories, you know, for the listeners. I'm this, you know, women's history fanatic, and I'm always learning new stuff. But
you always have some amazing facts to throw in. And they're not just facts that are boring. They're always these little, you know, stories, like you could embroider them on something.
Fabulous female
like a really
facts.
Big pillow.
Yes. Huh? Fabulous female facts.
Yeah. What is it? My favorite. I actually made a T-shirt with this quote on the back. Now, if I'm going to get it right, because my brain is fried. Courage in women is often mistaken for insanity. And that was said about Alice Paul, who was, you know, she wrote the Equal Rights Amendment, and she helped get the 19th Amendment passed. And when she went on a hunger strike because the women that were protesting not being able to vote, and they were all thrown into prison, the government hired, after they put her through hell with hunger strikes and force-fed her, for a month, they hired a shrink to, you know, examine her. And this shrink said, no, she's not insane. Courage in women is often mistaken for insanity. I do this in my play, and it's literally a showstopper. I mean, and now I have it on the back of a T-shirt with hashtag Alice Paul.
Oh.
So
I made a T-shirt once that said Underdeveloped by Norman Lear.
That's great.
And it was on my chest, which was underdeveloped. So.
Got it.
I get it. Yeah,
wait. Hold on. I got something for you here. I'm just a little slow.
Oh. And Norman Lear is this amazing historian. He has one of the original Declaration of Independence. He's got one of the original ones of those because... Yeah,
I got it. I love Norman Lear. First of all, you know, he is the founder. He's the man behind People for the American Way. He's no longer the head guy because he's like a emeritus.
He's,
you know,
he's
still
96 now.
Exactly. But back when I started doing talk radio again after my music career, I started working with this guy, Jim DeFede, here in Miami, who was a very well-known journalist for the Miami Herald, Miami New Times. Before that, he's got has a good name here in South Florida. This is, 12, 15 years ago already. And I came back to radio as his producer. I, contacted the program director and said, DeFede's great and stuff, but he needs somebody who knows radio. And so I came on as his producer. And he had a lot of health problems. He's a very, very large man. He's got to be, 350, 400 pounds. And so he had a lot of health issues. And the first time he was out, like something came upon him fast, he was in the hospital, and I had to fill in for him. It was my first time hosting a news talk radio show. And we had Norman Lear scheduled for an interview. And it's like, so I got to interview Norman Lear. I wasn't prepared for it because I didn't know it was going to. I still have it on tape. One of these days, I'll share it on I'll share it again because it was it's one of those moments like, oh my God, I got to interview Norman Lear. And the fact that it was my first time like doing talk radio interview, I interviewed a million musicians before, but never someone like Norman Lear. So
that's
amazing. My brush
with
him.
Wow.
Yeah. I got that going for me.
Pretty impressive.
Pretty good.
Let me tell you what we have coming up this week, because I'm really excited about Friday's show. We're going to do something different. As you know, I've been trying to do things differently with our quarantine calling and stuff. We're going to call Finland maybe on Thursday. But on Friday, we're going to do something really special with Kelly Carlin, who's been on this program before. And you guys know Kelly. She's George's daughter.
Yeah. Love Kelly.
She's brilliant. And what a lot of people don't know, you got to read her book. She tells about her studying. She studied like psychology and life coaching, and she's got a master's, and she really knows her shit. And she does these coaching, life coaching seminar things, and she does them over Zoom. And I participated in one with her a year or two ago with probably about 20 other people on a Zoom thing. Now Zoom is all the rage. And so I reached out to Kelly last week and asked her if she would consider, because we're all in this weird frame of mind, doing a guided meditation for us. So Kelly Carlin will be here on Friday for the last half hour of the show, and she is going to lead us in a guided meditation in dealing with our quarantine, our virus, the way the world as it is today. And I'm really excited about it. I mean, it's something that I never tried on the radio before because oftentimes people are in the car listening to radio. Right now, though, most of us are at home. And so I figured if ever it was time to do a meditation on radio, it's now.
So, of course, in my mind, I'm thinking meditation is silent, so you're going to have an hour of silence.
No, guided meditation.
No,
sit quietly and she talks us through
you.
It. Oh, got it. I'm just clarifying for those who don't know.
Yeah, that's okay.
I've done those guided meditations. They're great.
Yes. And Kelly, you know, she is her father's daughter. She's very serious when it comes to her, you know, coaching people. But she's also George Carlin's daughter, and she's very, very funny and very irreverent. And so, you know, she'll bring that to it as well. So I invite everyone to join us on Friday for something. I have no idea how it's going to go, but I'm sure it'll be amazing.
It sounds like it will. She's fantastic.
Yes, she really is. So I'm excited she's going to do that with us. Another thing, guess who I struck up an online friendship with after I criticized him on Twitter?
Uh-oh.
You know, I did this with, it happened with Lawrence O'Donnell, and now it happened with Ali Velshi. So he's my new buddy.
Oh, I love Ali.
And I love him.
We are going to tape, because his schedule is so screwy, we're going to tape something. Uh-oh. On Friday at noon. So depending how long it goes, maybe the first half of the show will be the Ali Velshi interview, and the second half will be the guided meditation with Kelly Carlin. But that's all coming up on Friday. How cool is that? Huh?
Say hi.
He's great.
He is great. We follow each other. And so somebody said, oh, he follows you? I said, yeah, but he never tweets me. And then he pops in with, I love your tweets.
You two are like famous.
Well, no, I got one tweet from him.
But he's my new buddy.
Didn't Rachel Maddow follow you?
Oh, yeah. She was one of my earlier ones. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Didn't she hug you? Come on.
She wasn't allowed to. I think we might have shaken hands.
COVID.
The guards wouldn't let us get close to each other. But I met her.
Signing. I remember
her book signing
when I first met you.
Yeah, back in, I think it was 2012. And when her first book came out, and she was, I'm like, not knowing what to say to her. She spent the entire time complimenting me.
Aww.
I mean, because she said, I see your tweets. I always, oh my God, yes, I agree with that. I agree with that. Oh, you're one of the two people I wish, you know, we wanted to have come today. I'm so glad you're here. I'm sitting there going, wait, but you're the one. I'm just in line getting you to sign a book, you know, and she couldn't have been more generous. That's who she really is.
That was very nice.
Yeah. I know that, you know, people get pissed at her, but I don't care. I really like her. I may disagree with her sometimes, but I think she's really smart. I think she brings up topics that don't get enough attention and that she really zooms in on. Mm-hmm. She's passionate about what she does. She's a real, real authentic person. I'm happy. And I think she has a good sense of humor, which is always important.
And she's very classy. She's really classy and she knows her stuff.
You know, I used to, back in the Air America days, when she had already transitioned to do the TV show, and so, but she was still doing her hour, her TV show, and then she was still doing the radio show, and I would occasionally fill in for her. Well, I developed a friendship. I got an email one day from Mr. Maddow, Rachel's dad, who became my pen pal for the longest time. I'm sure I don't still have, because I've lost old emails over and over again because I don't know how to update Outlook when I change computers, so I lose emails. But Rachel's dad was my pen pal for the longest time, and he would always listen to my show, and especially when I filled in for Rachel, and always had the nicest compliments to pay me. Just
That's
the
so
nicest
cool.
man. So you could see, at least she gets her courtesy from her dad. He was wonderful.
Oh, I think that's wonderful.
Speaking of Air America, I saw Al Franken on a news show, I think it was last week.
You know, Al Franken
has been doing a podcast.
He has a podcast
now, doesn't he?
Yep, he does.
Is that what it is?
He does have a podcast.
I was so happy to see him.
I know. I want him to run again. I really do.
Me too.
I'm so disgusted with this Democratic Party, and I don't want to get into a whole thing about Joe Biden and the allegations. I think the Democratic Party needs to look into it because they are hypocrites if they don't. After the way they went after Brett Kavanaugh, they owe Joe Biden the same treatment, just saying. But that said, I completely lost my train of thought. I don't know where I was going with that.
Al Franken.
But they ran Al Franken out of the Senate on an allegation that was nowhere near what the allegations are against Biden. Al Franken needs to come back. Just saying.
That was a crazy time at the very beginning of the whole Me Too.
Yep.
You know, I think everybody was finding their way and.
Well,
ridiculous.
That was Kirsten
Gillibrand.
But people
are still defending that decision, which I don't get.
No. Yeah, Kirsten Gillibrand is. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Both you guys are parents. And luckily, none of us have small children at home with us. I've got my daughter, Allison, who will be 21 in a couple of weeks. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Do you believe it,
Are you
Amy?
Kidding me?
Allison will be 21 in May, the beginning of May. But anyway, we all remember what little ones were like. And can you imagine having to go through this quarantine period with a little kid? So I'm going to play you a little video that came to us by way of The Sun in the UK. And I think you guys will feel for the mom here. All right. This is 40 seconds worth, but I think you'll enjoy it. You'll appreciate it as moms. All right. Just here we go.
And KFC. And McDonald's.
A Chinese place too.
Chinese is close too.
All her food's closed. All her
deliveries.
What about deliveries?
All the deliveries.
No deliveries.
You've literally got to eat mummy's cooking now. I'm so sorry.
The poor kid's crying because you gotta eat mommy's cooking.
Pizza Hut's closed too.
I said that to you.
You did?
I saw
my God. That's Pizza Hut's closed too.
I love
that.
KFC's
around. Closed. Oh,
oh that poor mummy.
Mummy.
You got to eat mummy's cooking now.
I don't like your food, mummy. I don't like you, mummy.
Oh,
I prefer daddy.
I taped an interview today to air tomorrow with Jeff Charlotte, who I adore, the guy who wrote The Family, C Street, right? And he's got a wonderful new book out that you guys need to read. We'll talk about it. You'll hear it in the interview tomorrow. The reason we taped it today is because tomorrow he's got teaching duty. He's got a 6-year-old and 11-year-old, and he and his wife are trading off on the homeschooling duties. And he says it's really, really difficult. I can't even imagine.
I have friends who are teachers who are at home with their own kids teaching, and, you know, they have to teach the kids. What a nightmare, really.
I know. And Jeff Charlotte's a college professor, and he said, I can teach college students all day long, but I don't know how to teach first grade. I don't know how to teach a kid how to read. So it's a dilemma that a lot of parents are dealing with right now.
Yeah, that and being pregnant and having to deliver at this time
can't
would be terrifying for
imagine.
Me.
Yeah.
I do know of several women who have delivered babies over the past from my colleagues at work, and I'm hearing nothing but fine. So there's a little reassurance that I can tell you there's probably 10 women that I've heard of that have just delivered their babies over the past week or two. Or even three, and they're all good.
Good.
So that's,
If it were me, I'd be looking into a midwife or something. Yeah. So
thankfully, agree. I would have too.
I'm not. And how's Rosie doing, Amy? Is she hanging in there?
She is. She got furloughed from her job, which I think is somewhat of a blessing. And they're just sort of, you know, getting the baby's room ready and doing that kind of thing. She actually lives across the street from, like, a field. She lives in, like, a suburb of London. And so she has a dog that she adores, which I would like to kidnap along with the baby when it comes. And so she can go walk outside and you know, walk her dog. And when the baby comes, so it's not till August, but I guess she's doing okay.
I think by the time she delivers, we're going to know so much more. I think she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Hopefully the timing is on her side.
there's that whole thing about the husband or the spouse or the partner being in the delivery room, and hopefully that'll be, you know, she'll be able to have, because she, I think I told you on the show last week, she had to go in for her scan, and she, her husband wasn't allowed in with her, and she was so afraid that she'd have, well, she's a panicked person. She just panicked. She's like, what if I had bad news and he wasn't there? I'm like, but you didn't have bad news. Mm-hmm. Everything is perfect. Relax when you're pregnant and you're in a quarantine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for asking.
Well, we are getting to the end of the show, as you can hear from the music. So I will take this time to tell you, you can find Amy Simon at sheshistory.com. You should go there and read some fabulous female facts and peruse the site because there's a lot of stuff there. Gotta Laugh, of course, you find on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, two T's, two F's. And here on Tuesdays, and I'm Nicole Sandler, and I guess we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Pig, that was great. You glib girl goddesses, love you.
Love you
too. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.